Grace Point Church Podcast. This is a podcast where you're hearing sermon audio from Pastor Ben Hill, the pastor of Grace Point Church. In this episode, Pastor Ben continues his series, Uncommon Faith, or as he's renamed it, Radical Faith. This is part four. Let's listen in.
Sometimes God says, let's just have church.
Amen. Yes, right.
Amen.
Wow. Spirit of the Lord has broke this group. And Steve, you thought that the place would come crashing down if you came in.
Oh, I thought I'd burst in flame.
Let me tell you, my friend, something else has happened. And God be the Lord. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
It is amazing. I see a couple people fanning.
Yes.
If it is warm, so I'm going to ask if you can bump it down two things.
At least.
Ron came back to do that, and I stopped him. I said, I've already done it, but evidently didn't do it enough. Somebody said, yeah, there you go. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time, God is good.
God is good.
Right? Amen.
Amen.
And let's see, I'm gonna walk this back to Nathan, because in all the activity, I didn't get this done. So while we're doing that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I come to you now in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for your presence here. God, I thank you for the sweetness of your spirit. Lord, I thank you for the excitement. Father, I thank you for, Lord, all you're doing to bring honor and glory to your name. Father, we are a small congregation. But we are mighty in your spirit. Father, I pray above all else that we would be a people who strive to do nothing more than bring honor and glory to you and to proclaim your sweet gospel message. Your love, your mercy, and your grace. Not just across the street, but across this city, across this county, our nation, and the world. Father, we will be what you've asked us to be. We humbly pray that it will be so in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Faith. We have been working on going through, trudging through one chapter of the Bible for several weeks now. Guess what? We're maybe halfway through.
Yep.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, we're going to bump up against Easter, so we're going to have to push the pause button. Easter. Somebody say yep. We're going to have to push the pause button, do some Easter stuff, then come back to it. But you know what? Faith works no matter what time of the year.
Yeah.
Amen. Hebrews chapter number 11, if you'll turn there, if you have your Bibles with you, we said before, if you will turn to in your Bibles or turn on your Bibles, whichever it is, I mean, anymore, everybody's got it on their phone. If you notice that I took off a plate on the front door that said, turn off your cell phone, and it's been there for a long time, and I thought, okay, so turn off your cell phone. I looked at that one day, and I said, well, if we say turn off your cell phone, half the people will be turning off their Bibles. We can't have that. So we pulled it off, and then we'll clean it up too. But anyway, that was the reason that's gone. Amen? So now, if you find yourself there, we have been looking at a series that we've entitled Uncommon Faith. Well, you know, as I prepared this week, and particularly looking at these verses, something happened, and I realized that uncommon just wasn't a strong enough word. I mean, uncommon is uncommon, right? But there's something beyond that. The faith that is talked about, that is explained, that is described through the persons and the individuals that we look at in Hebrews chapter number 11 that we've already identified as the Faith Hall of Fame, if you will. It's more than just uncommon. It's bigger than just something that's uncommon. So we're going to replace it. The message this morning is entitled Radical Faith. But I thought about that and said, you know what? Let's just from now on talk about it from that perspective. Radical faith. If you're with me, say amen.
Amen.
Radical.
What we're going to do is we're going to look at radical faith this morning. And we're going to look at it from this perspective. Moses' lifelong faithfulness. Moses' lifelong faithfulness. We find it in Hebrews chapter number 11, verses 23 through 29. Let's read it together, and then we'll break it apart individually from that point forward. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn might not touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea, as though they were passing through dry land. And the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. Yes. Now, if you're talking about something going on, this is big time, right? You remember the story. It can't be described anyway but radical, right? Yeah. I mean, Moses, it was a big time deal. Next to Abraham, Moses is probably the greatest known patriarch of all of Scripture. Thinking about this from this perspective, my heart turns to something that I believe God wants us to see. In that scripture, every verse began with "by faith." Everyone but a couple began with "by faith." If you look in the original text in the Greek manuscripts, you find the word "faith" there that's listed is done in the imperative voice, and it comes from this perspective. It is emphasized above all other words around it. So in other words, the Holy Spirit shouts faith every time. Now, to me, not only is the repetition of the word something we got to focus on over the whole chapter, but then when you look at it from that perspective, the Holy Spirit shouts just a little bit, raises his voice, if you will, in the interpretation of the scripture. And we see the emphasis that is placed on the word faith. Remember, as we've been talking about all this last few weeks, faith is more than just a thing. Faith is more than just a belief. Faith is an action. Faith is something that is tangible. Faith is something that you not only see, but we are to embrace and to hold on to. Faith is the foundation. It's the core of who we are. It's the core of what we believe as children of God. So the author of Hebrews here chooses to highlight three aspects of faith. Three aspects of Moses' life, actually, and I'm calling these as faith evidences. Three things from Moses' life that the author of Hebrews highlights or brings out. First of all, radical parental faith. How many of you are parents? How many of you as parents, leave your hand up. How many of you as parents would leave your hand up saying that, you know what? What describes my faith is radical. Sometimes, maybe not all the time, right? Radical faith. The radical parental faith. Look at verse number 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Amram and Jochebed, Moses' parents, you remember the story, they made a basket. They made a little basket of reeds, and they made it to where it was waterproof and it was buoyant. And they placed their baby in that basket. You say, what in the world were they doing? Well, remember, Pharaoh was getting a little bit afraid of the population growth, if you will, of the children of Israel. He's getting a little bit frightened because they were gaining a little bit of power. He didn't like it. He was threatened by it. So he ordered the male sons, the male children, to be sacrificed and killed. And so in doing so, Amram and Jochebed, Moses' parents said, we are going to defy what the king's edict is, and we made this little basket. I'm calling it a floating bassinet. How many of you have ever seen and used a rocking bassinet? Right? It's a little bit different. It's called a floating bassinet. And they put him in the river, and you know the story. His sister then went to watch it, right? And his sister went to watch it and to see where it went. And, oh, it just so happened by coincidence, right? Coincidence that the basket found its way to Pharaoh's daughter. And we know the rest of the story, amen? But I'm looking at it from this perspective. It was radical. Their faith was radical. Why? Well, first of all, they violated human authority because they believed in a higher authority. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
They violated Pharaoh's authority because they believed in a higher authority, the authority of God, right? And in doing so, they put themselves and their entire family at risk by disobeying a direct command from the human legal authority of the day. You know, there are times as believers we may come, even in this country, we see the signs, we see the trends. There may come a time when we must, as children of God, simply say, I'm defying what man's law says in order to follow God's law. You know, it happens all over the world. How many of you are familiar with the ministry called...
Navigators.
Navigators and Voice of the Martyr.
Oh.
How many are you familiar with that? If you look at some of their things and you read, you realize that there is persecution today, perhaps more widespread than it's ever been in the history of the world. Persecution of Christians. It's an incredible thing that's going on. There may come a time when we, as children of God, even in this land, might have to choose to violate human authority. How about that? Is our faith, is your faith, is my faith radical enough in order to do that? Do I think radically enough to be able to stand up in the face of persecution? And I'm not just talking about somebody talking about me in the office. I'm not just talking about somebody rolling their eyes when I say a prayer before a meal. I'm talking about real, genuine, physical persecution. I don't know. I pray God would give me the grace and give me the faith to do that. Are you with me?
Amen.
So radical, why? They violated human authority. But then also, consider this, radical why? Who but God could arrange it so that the deliverer of his own people could be raised right under the nose of their enemy? Are you with me? I mean, what are the odds? Well, I think it's divine odds that Moses happened to float to where he floated. Right? I think it's divine odds that Moses wound up in the possession and in the care of someone so close to Pharaoh who had ordered his execution. I believe that only God could accomplish that sort of thing. You know, folks, people will try to explain away acts of God. Are you with me?
Yeah.
I was watching a TV show the other night, and it's not a show that's particularly, as a matter of fact, it's like kind of like, well, it's not particularly faith-based, and as a matter of fact, it's everything but. It's the exact opposite. But it was interesting because the way they portrayed it, there was somebody there that was in a medical situation, and they were being faithful to God, and they had a little twisted understanding of God's direction and plan, but they were faithful anyway. And then the one who was adamant about not believing in God and believing in miracle had to come back and admit that this healing took place in this person's life in a way that can't be explained medically or by man's perspective. And even in this secular show, there was evidence that they were saying miracles happen and miracles come by the hand of the Holy God. Are you? Man, it thrilled my heart. I loved it. I loved to see it. But who but God could arrange those things? Well, I believe that God has his hand on your life and my life. And the faith that we are to learn and to glean from his exegesis of the lives of these people that he lists in Hebrews chapter number 11. I believe there's a message for us. And here it is. You ready? Parents, radical faith allows you to let your child go into the hands of the Holy God. Radical faith allows you to turn loose of the life of those who are most precious to you, trusting that God cares, loves, and provides and protects them better than you can possibly do it on your own. You know, I don't want anybody looking at my life and judging as to what kind of parent I have been, because it is fraught with some huge mistakes. Amen, Brit? Is she here? Daniel, we're here to go, amen. But listen to me. There's one thing I know. With the sweet leadership of my precious wife, years ago, our babies were placed on the altar before a holy God. And we have said that He is the one who is in control of their lives. Folks, I want you to know something. There is radical freedom in doing that. So parents, faith allows us to let go. The world, we know there's no respect for life, right? It's getting worse and worse. Pharaoh chose to kill just for his own power and his own authority. Today we see state legislatures standing and giving a standing ovation and applauding the choice to make it legal to kill a baby even to the point of the birthing process. Infanticide. Folks, listen. We are living in radical times. So radical faith for parents is absolutely necessary. Got it?
Amen.
All right, let's move on. Secondly, I want you to notice radical personal faith. Radical personal faith. You know, it's been said by someone, and I can't find who first quoted it, so it's anonymous, but here's what it was said. Everybody's got to do their own dying, and everybody's got to do their own believing. You see, there comes a point to where your parents' faith has to become personal faith.
Amen.
There comes a time when you can't rest on what your parents have shown you, but you have to embrace for yourself the truth of what God says. Amen. There comes a time when it has to move from the family connection and become the personal connection, if you will. Look at verses 24 through 26. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Listen, a parent's faith can point their child in the right direction, but there comes a time when a child must believe for themselves. Amen? And folks, we can see from the life of Moses that he certainly got that. Amen? He understood that the faith had to be his own. Let's look at Moses from this perspective. Personally, what do we see in Moses' life? First of all, he chose to refuse Egypt's throne. Look at verse 24 again. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, folks, stop. Back up. From Moses' perspective at that time, he had been raised in the household of Pharaoh. He had been raised with every earthly privilege, every earthly advantage that could possibly come from being in the family of the king of the land. I don't know about you, but there probably was a whole lot of personal perks in that position, right? You notice I backed up when I set those two P's together. And that was for y'all's benefit, okay? Ongoing thing. Right. Here's what we need to understand. Moses chose by faith to choose against the privilege that he was promised by the position that he found himself in. Secondly, Moses personally refused the temptations of Egypt. Look at verse 25. Choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. In other words, he said, this life is temporary. This life is only a hiccup in eternity. This life and all that it might bring does not compare to the eternal wealth and riches of a holy God. This life doesn't measure up to what eternity promises.
Amen.
In other words, he said, I refuse the temptations of Egypt. And he walked away from that which would make the average person dream about having obtained. And yet Moses said, my God is bigger than all of that. And radical faith caused him to do that. It went beyond Jochebed's faith. It went beyond Amram's faith. It went beyond the legacy of faith from generations prior. And Moses embraced for himself the radical nature of faith. I've got a question. Have you and I embraced that kind of radical faith? Have we said that, you know what, no matter what, I choose to embrace my faith in God as the dominant aspect of who I am. I choose to be what God's called me to be. It's a question we need to ask ourselves. And then third, we see that Moses personally refused the treasures of Egypt. Look at verse 26. He considered the reproach of Christ. The reproach of Christ. Are you ready? Remember, who is Moses? Moses is the one who led the children out of Egypt, right? He came a whole long centuries before the birth of Jesus, right?
Yep.
But notice the connection that the author of Hebrews brings. He considered the reproach of Christ. In other words, he said, the faith that I am living by, embracing the knowledge and the information that God has given, that one day he will provide a Messiah. And he said, that is more important than the temporary joy, the temporary comforts, the temporary riches that I might have as my inheritance in Pharaoh's home. And I choose to say no and to walk away from that because faith tells me there's something bigger down the road. See, he refused the treasures of Egypt. Here's the point. Are you ready? We can put it this way in today's vernacular. Moses saw the bigger picture. Right? He backed up. He saw a panoramic view of life and eternity. He saw God from the perspective of one who had full understanding of who God is and had placed a radical faith of their lives in him and in his hand. He compared to this heaven, this old world, and guess what? This world couldn't live up. I read an illustration of a wealthy man, supposedly a wealthy man, right close to death, filled his pockets with gold. In other words, he wanted to go to heaven, and then when he got to heaven, to be viewed as someone of wealth and means and someone of importance and influence. Well, the story goes that he got up to the pearly gates and he looked at St. Peter, and St. Peter looked at him and said to him, this, asking this question, what's with the gravel in your pockets? Yeah, I know, silly, silly story. Bottom line is he filled himself with street pavement. What was considered glorious and of all great value in a personal wealth and gain in this world was nothing but asphalt in the glory of heaven. Oh, listen. And I mean this. Listen to me, church. It may be discouraging down here. It may be tough sometimes down here. Amen? But joy comes in the morning.
Amen.
See, we as believers are told to live with one eye off of our circumstance and have one eye focused on the eastern sky, because one day this world is going to pass by and Jesus is coming back. Are you ready?
Amen.
Are you with me? Does that bring a smile to your heart? Does that bring anticipation and joy to consider that one day Jesus is going to split the eastern sky and he's going to call his church home? I don't know about you. I'm ready. Consider that thought. You may be cursed here, but hello, in heaven you're going to be crowned. Amen. But like God's plan, consider the plan of a holy God. Well, let's move on. Somebody say you run out of time. Go forward. Oh, these treasures. All right, so we learned from Moses, radical parental faith. Got it?
Yep.
We learned from Moses the radical personal faith. And then number three, and finally, somebody say, yay! We learned from Moses radically powerful faith as well. Look at verses 27 through 29. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king. Stop. He left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king. Whose anger, whose wrath did he fear more? Because God's wrath would have been righteous. The king's would have been, oh, what it is. Based in the fallacy and the faultiness of human heart. But he understood. Not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. In other words, he said, the king ain't even there. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. You all know the story. In case you don't, Moses went to Pharaoh and said, Pharaoh, let my people go. And Pharaoh probably looked at Moses and said, you've lost your ever-loving mind.
Sure.
Ain't happening. No, no, no. But he said, no, let my people go. And he went back to God and said, okay, God. He said, no. Maybe I should just go home. God said no. And you remember God visited the plagues on the people. Mm-hmm. And then the final plague, the last plague, was the death angel. It's why the Jewish people celebrate today the Passover. Because what happened is the people, by obedience, did what they were told to do. And they put the blood of the sacrificial lamb over the doorpost of their homes. And guess what? When the blood was there and the blood was applied, the death angel passed over and nothing happened to that house. No death visited them, but every home without the blood above the door, what happened? Death visited on the firstborn. And every family was affected. You see, Moses' personal faith led to powerful faith. I do a mental exercise a lot of times and think about different aspects of stories in the Bible. What if Moses, after his first meeting with Pharaoh, looked at God and said, God, with all due respect, I got out of there with my life. I don't want to risk it again. I don't want to go back. As a matter of fact, Lord, I'll just hang out here on the backside of the mountain in the wilderness, and I'll just chill until the day I die. What if he had done that? Well, we know it's an exercise in futility. Consider, because that's not what he did, but consider what might have happened if the people of Israel had not been let out of Egypt. Folks, I shudder to think how our lives would be different. Amen?
Amen.
You see, God used the personal faith of Moses to lead to that faith being evidenced as powerful. How? Why? Three ways. First of all, Moses left Egypt. Verse 27. By faith, he left Egypt. By faith, he left Egypt. How radically different the people of Israel's lives were. How radically different the heritage as Gentiles, to those who've come to know the faith in Christ and be grafted into the body, grafted in, adopted into the family of God. How radically different our lives are because Moses left Egypt. I say amen.
Amen.
Moses kept Passover. What does that mean? Well, you see, he kept Passover. Yeah, it was initiated. Moses obeyed God, told the people. The people followed what Moses said as the prophet coming from God. And they did the things that were necessary. They were obedient to the point of turning and surrendering their lives over to what God said and promised. And they placed the blood of the sacrificial lamb over the door. And they were spared. The death angel passed over. You see, Moses kept the promise. What if Moses had been like you and I are a lot of times going, you know what? That's really a stupid thing to do. You see, my neighbors are going to think I've lost my mind when I tell them that an angel's coming to kill their firstborn and all you got to do is follow this procedure and take this lamb and sacrifice and put the blood over and have it fixed a certain way and all. You know, all you got to do is do that. And everybody's going to look at me and say, you've got three horns and seven eyes. What is wrong with you? What if Moses had been more concerned about what people would say about him than obeying God? How radically different would things be? But you see, his personal faith became powerful faith, and it was radical enough that he kept the Passover. And then third, Moses led the people of God through the Red Sea. Fast forward. Pharaoh finally says, okay, your people can go. Just get out of here. So they started out, but when that happened and they started leading, he started to take all his slaves, all the pool of slaves that he had, all these that were subject to him, and he saw them leaving. And oh, by the way, they were taking their livestock and all their possessions and all their treasures. And Pharaoh was like, what in the world and why am I letting these guys get away with this? And what did he do? He said, I changed my mind. And he sent the army after. Look at verse 29. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land. And the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. You know the crucial point as you've read the Old Testament account. And the people of God come to the Red Sea. They recognize that behind them, in the distance, the dust cloud is formed because of the army of Pharaoh coming to capture them, coming to slay them. And they followed Moses. And here they were at the banks of the Red Sea. And they didn't have time to go around. They didn't have time to go around to the south. They didn't have time to go around to the north. They didn't have time to build a bridge. And the army was behind them. So what did the people do? The people did what church people do, right? They said, when, when, when. Right? They went to Moses. They said, Moses, why did you bring us out here into the wilderness to kill us? Why did you bring us out here so that we'd die? It's better that we had stayed in Egypt in slavery than to be out here at the banks of the Red Sea to die. It wasn't that long before that they were marching out of Egypt. And you can imagine they were just hallelujahing the whole time, right? Take that, Pharaoh. Going on out. About it. But then they turn and Moses. But then we know the story. God spoke to Moses. What did Moses do? He raised the staff, and what happened? The sea parted. And they went across on dry land. Think about the Egyptian army as they came up. They got to that bank and they saw them go across and they thought to themselves, this is kind of weird. Would you think it was weird? This is kind of weird, but they went. Well, maybe we can. So you know what happened? They went into the Dead Sea on the dry land, and then God closed the waters and came down and drowned them. Drowned them. That's a good grammar. Drowned. I just said drowned. That is not good. In drowning. I hate bad grammar, and I just made myself do that. It's not drowning. No, I'm sorry. That's not the real word. Okay? Consider this. What Moses did is he led the people to choose against what seemed normal, to choose against what seemed safe, and to radically step in a place they had never stepped before. You know, I've been guilty of thinking about the parting of the Red Sea from the miraculous standpoint of the water standing up on one side and standing up on the other side, and the land being dry and then going across. Woo, hallelujah, God, rescued the river. But you know what else? The more I thought about it, the more I realized there was a real band of people who by faith had to trust what they were seeing with their eyes that defied the laws of physics. They had to trust what they were seeing with their eyes that absolutely stood up in the face of what was normal. And then they had to make themselves choose by faith to say, I'm going to step out and walk into the middle of that thing. And I'm going to trust that as I go, it's going to stay the way God has it at this point, and I'm going to get all the way through. Folks, it was radical faith. Every step across the expanse of that sea. You know, Moses built a pillar on one side and he built a pillar on the other, so we know exactly where it was that they crossed and the route they went. And it may be a little bit narrowed area of the Red Sea, but the Red Sea just looks like a big bean. So it doesn't have a whole lot of contour to where it changes in width. It was a radical distance they crossed with the water standing up on one side and the other. And there they went. You see, I believe that Moses had to have radical faith in a holy God for the purpose of his life to be revealed. As we wind this up today, I don't want you to say anything, but I want you to think. When it comes to faith, what can be said about the faith I have? Is it solid? Or is it wishy-washy? Is it temporary? Or is it eternal? Is it commonplace? Or is it radical? You see, I believe that our personal faith must be radical so that God can reveal to us what he wants to accomplish through our lives. Listen, obedience was required. The blood of a special lamb was rightly applied. The death angel passed over. I'm here to tell you, folks, it hasn't changed. In order for the faith that God deems as radical to be realized, the blood of the special lamb, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ himself, the shed blood of Calvary's hill must be applied to man's heart and life. For death to once more pass over, and to once more be defeated. The psalmist understood that when he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Question. Can it be said of your life and my life that we are going to be radical because we're going to be a Christ follower? Are we? Are you? Let's just stand. We're going to have an invitation right now, this few moments that we have left. Here's what I want to ask you to do. Consider this with me. If you're here today and you've never had this radical thing happen to you where you've chosen to choose against what looks to be the normal way, and you said, I believe God is who he says he is. And I believe that he sent Jesus to die on a cross to shed his blood so that my sinful self could be redeemed. And if you've never placed your faith, your trust, all that you have in Him, and the fact that He rose again to be the promise that you too will go through death and spend eternity in heaven, then I'm asking you to choose this day to follow Him. Just simply surrender yourself, surrender your life and heart. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins and trust Him to be who He says He is. And I promise you, His Word says you will be forgiven. Would you do that? Secondly, for those of us who have been in this thing for a while, sometimes it's easy to get jaded and get all comfortable with the whole church thing. Folks, I want you to know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, it ain't about the church, it's about Him. It's not about the program, it's about the person, and His name is Jesus. Amen. Are you following Him? Is He leading you? If not, today's a day when you can say, Lord, all that I am and all that I have, the faith that I have, I am surrendering to You, and I'm asking You, oh God, today to make it radical. Because there's a world that needs Jesus. And they need to see your radical faith and a radical army ready to pursue You and to lead them in life. Father, we come in Jesus' name. I ask You right now to move in the hearts of Your people for Your Lord. And I pray in Jesus' name. If you crank some music up.
Listening to the Grace Point Church podcast. To find out more information about Grace Point Church, go to our website at www.gracepointsc.org. You can also like us on Facebook at Grace Point Church SC, follow us on Twitter at Grace Point SC, Instagram Grace Point Simpsonville, Snapchat, and LinkedIn. You can also listen to Pastor Ben's other sermons on YouTube or subscribe to this podcast. Thank you for listening.